ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। The title of the chapter is The Characteristics of King Puranjana. So Anveshamanaha Sharanam Bhavaram Prithivim Prabhu Nanu Rupam Yadavindat Abhutsa Vimana Iva. So Anveshamanaha Saranam Bhavaram Prithivim Prabhu Nanu Rupam Yadavindat Abhutsa Vimana Iva. So Anveshamanaha Saranam Bhavaram Prithivim Prabhu Nanu Rupam Yadavindat Abhutsa Vimana Iva. So Anveshamanaha Saranam Bhavaram Prithivim Prabhu Nanu Rupam Yadavindat Abhutsa Vimana Iva.
Abhutsa Vimana Iva.
Shah.
Dead.
King Puranjana.
King Puranjana.
So Shah was dead King Puranjana. Okay. Anveshamanaha.
Anveshamanaha.
Searching after.
Sharanam.
Shelter.
Bhavarama.
Traveled over. Prithivim.
The
whole planet Earth. Prabhu, to become an independent master.
Na,
never.
Anurupam,
to his liking. What does Anurupam mean? To his liking. Okay, so Na is never. Anurupam means to his liking. So what does Na Anurupam mean? Not to his liking. So just remember this point. Not to his liking. So what talks about this in the book of Navamitu Pikita S D Gaw, otherwise God will just read it for the sake of it. So Na Anurupa means not to his liking. And when something is not to our liking, how do we feel?
Disappointed.
Disappointed. Did you read this before coming?
No.
No, okay. Let's keep going. Yada? When? Did I miss something? No. Avinda.
Avinda.
He would find. Abhut.
Became.
Shah.
He.
Vimana.
Morose.
Vimana means?
Morose.
In other words, means disappointed. So some, when something is not to our liking, how do we feel? Vimana. So when something is na anurupa, we feel vimana. When something is not to our liking, we feel disappointed and morose. Yeah? Iva,
light.
Translation and record by his divine Rubati. King Puranandana began to search for a suitable place to live. Sounds like us. Yeah? We always try to find a suitable place to live. One bedroom apartment in Albert Park is not enough, so we want to extend it to two bedrooms. Something like this. Sounds like almost like that. So picturize, put ourselves in King Puranandana's shoes at the moment, yeah? As well. Yeah. So King Puranandana began to search for a suitable place to live. And thus he travelled all over the world. Even after a great deal of travelling, he could not find a place just to his liking. Finally he became morose and disappointed. Purple. The travelings of Purandana Asurwal are similar to the travelings of the modern hippies. So Prabhupada immediately strikes a comparison between Purandana, King Purandana, and the hippies. So just visualize it as we read the purport. For the reasons being, it's a quite lengthy purport actually. It goes over 2 pages. And we'll follow it as we go. Yeah? So at the moment, the Prabhupada has got 2 buckets. The hippies and the King Purandana. So the Purandana and the hippies, let's put it this way. The travelings of Purandana are similar to the travelings of modern hippies. Generally, hippies, so hippies bucket now, yeah? Generally, hippies are the sons of great fathers and great families. It is not that they are always poor, this point, that the hippies were not necessarily poor, they were also rich. But, there's always a but in that, yeah? But, some way or another, they abandoned the shelter of their rich fathers and traveled all over the world. What did they do?
Traveled all over.
Well, before that, they abandoned the shelter. So remember this point, shelter. What was their root cause of their problem? They abandoned the shelter. So the hippies abandoned the shelter of who? Of their rich father. And then, consequently, they traveled all over the world. As stated in this verse, the living entity wants to become Prabhu. So then there's a third bucket now. Purandana, hippies, and the living entities. And who are the living entities? Do you know them? Sounds like us, yeah? So the living entities, we also travel all over the world. For that matter, we travel all over the universe. Why do we do that? Let's see what Prabhupada says. As stated in this verse, the living entities wants to become a Prabhu or Master. The word Prabhu means Master. But actually the living entity is not a Master. He is an eternal servant of God. When the living entity abandons the shelter of God, Krishna, and tries to become a Prabhu independently, he travels all over the creation. Thus, there are 8.4 million species of life and millions and trillions of planets within the creation. The living entity wanders throughout these various types of bodies and throughout different planets. And thus, he is like King Purandana, who traveled all over the world looking for a suitable place to live. So let's just analyze that in the first paragraph. So Prabhupada is saying that the hippies are like Purandana. They abandon the shelter of their rich parents and travel all over the world in order to find a suitable place to live, and they want to become Prabhus, the Master. Similarly, the living entities, the Jiva, which is us, we abandon the shelter of our rich father Krishna, travel not only all over the world, but also all over the universe, and not only in this body, but in 8.4 million species of life, in order to do what? Become
Master.
So that we can be happy. Does that happen? Let's see. Srinath, so Prabhupada warns us. Sri Narottam Das Thakur has sung, Karma Kanda Nyana Kanda Kevala Vishera Bandha. The path of Karma Kanda, which is fruitive activities, and the path of Nyana Kanda, which is speculation, are just like strong pots of poison. Amrita Balya Eva Khaya Nana Yoni Sada Fide. A person who mistakes this poison to be the nectar and drinks it travels in different species of life. Kadarya Bhakshana Kare. And according to his body, he eats all types of abominable things. For instance, when the living entity is in the body of a hog, he eats stool. When the living entity is in the body of a crow, he eats all kinds of refuse, even pus and mucus, and enjoys it. Thus, Narottama Das Thakur points out that the living entity travels in different types of bodies and eats all kinds of abominable things. When he does not become ultimately happy, he becomes morose and takes to the ways of hippies. So to summarize thus far, the hippies left the shelter of their rich father in order to become Prabhus and traveled all over the world, and at the end they became morose and disappointed. Similarly, the living entities, after having left the shelter of our rich father Krishna, traveled all over the world in all different types of bodies, eating all kinds of obnoxious things, and then ultimately when we are unhappy, we just become morose. And we also left Krishna in order to become the Master. Thus, in this verse it is said, Na Anurupam, that the king could not find a place suitable for his purpose. This is because in any form of life, on any planet in the material world, a living entity cannot be happy. Why? Because everything in the material world is unsuitable for a spirit soul. Prabhupada told us that this material world is not fit for a gentleman. Anywhere we go, we will not be happy. As stated in this verse, the living entity independently wants to become the Prabhu. But as soon as he gives us the idea and becomes the servant of God, Krishna, his happiness immediately begins. So what was the problem? I said the root cause of the problem?
Disaffection.
Leaving the shelter, giving up the shelter. So what do you think is the solution?
Going back to the
shelter. Taking the shelter. If leaving the shelter was the main cause of the problem, then of course taking the shelter should be the solution. So now from henceforth, Prabhupada will talk about taking shelter. So for example, in this line that I just read, as is stated in this verse, the living entity independently wants to become a Prabhu. But as soon as he gives us this idea and becomes a servant of God, you know, the words he surrenders. But Prabhu, as soon as he gives us this idea and becomes a servant of God Krishna, his happiness immediately begins just from the step of taking the surrender. Therefore, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur sings, so this is a brilliant style of writing from Srila Prabhupada. Whenever he had to make his point, he would always supplement. You know? So the first supplement Prabhu gives is from another bona fide Acharya. Therefore, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur sings, Niche Mayara Vase Yachad Bese Kacha Abudugu Bhai. Apologies to all the Bengalis if I'm making a mockery of their pronunciation. My dear living entity, why are you being carried away by the waves of Maya? As stated in Bhagavad Gita 18.61, again, Prabhupada supplements with the words of Lord Krishna, not just of Anagacharya, but also from Krishna. Ishvara sarva bhutanam hridesha arjunati sati brahmanyan sarva bhutani yanta rudhani mayaya. The Supreme Lord is situated in everyone's heart, O Arjuna, and is directing the wanderings of all living entities who are seated on a machine, on a machine made up of material energy. The living entity is carried in the machine of a body through so many species of life and so many planets. Therefore, Bhaktivinoda Thakur ask the living entities, why is he being carried away in this bodily machine to be placed in so many different circumstances? He advises that one surmount the waves. So this is the next thread of Prabhupada picks up, yeah? He advises that one surmounts the waves of Maya by surrendering onto Krishna. If giving up the shelter is the problem, then surrendering to Krishna is the solution. And what does surrender mean? Literally means our son under Krishna. That's surrender. Jiva Krishna Dasa E Vishwas Karle Tara Dukha Nai. Jiva Krishna Dasa E Jiva, become the Das of Krishna. Become the servant of Krishna E Vishwas. Have this faith. Karle Tara Dukha Nai. Then you will not have these disappointments, this dukkha, these miseries. As soon as we confront Krishna, then Krishna advises. So if we go to Krishna with this mentality, what does Krishna tell us? Very famous verse. Sarva dharma parityaja maam ekam sharanam raja aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshishyami maasucha. Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. I shall deliver you from all sinful reactions. Do not fear. Bhagavad Gita 18.66. Thus we are immediately relieved from the travelling from one body to the other, to another, and from one planet to the other. So when we stop our mentality to being the Prabhus, and we take shelter of Krishna, then our travelling stops. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Brahmanda Brahmine Kona Bhagavanji, Madhya Lila 19.151. If, while travelling, a living entity becomes fortunate enough to become blessed by the association of devotee, and to come to Krishna consciousness, his real life actually begins. So if he keep travelling for the non-devotees, if they keep travelling, but somehow or the other by their good fortune, they get in contact with the devotee, or a pure devotee, then their Krishna consciousness begins. Thus, Krishna consciousness movement is giving all wandering living entities a chance to take to the shelter of Krishna and thus become happy. In this sense, the word vimana are very significant. In this material world, even the great king of heaven is full of anxiety. Even if Lord If even Lord Brahma is full of anxiety, what of these ordinary living entities who are waking within these planets? So Prabhupada is saying, if we are traveling within the world, for example, the hippies and the other living entities, to find for happiness, and we will not find, then rest assured that even if we go interplanetary traveling, you will still not be happy. Why? Because Abrahma Bhuvanam Loka Punanavardhina Arjuna. From the highest planet in the material world down to the lowest, all are places of misery, wherein repeated birth and death take place. In this material world, a living entity is never satisfied. Even in the position of Brahma or in the position of Indra or Chandra, one is full of anxiety simply because he has accepted this material world as a place of happiness. Om Jnanti Nirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Nama Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Ashyakyate Sarathayine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasari Gaudamakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
So in this purpose, we saw talking about many about giving up the shelter of Lord Krishna and then traveling all over the world to find happiness, and then he assures us, or maybe warns us, you know, that will not come, because what we speak of just traveling within this earthly planetary system, even if we take part in interplanetary systems, we will still not be happy, because this place is not suitable for a gentleman. You know, it's a place of Dukhadayam Ashaswatam. So even if we aspire to go to Brahma Loka, we will still not be happy, because the whole places are full of anxieties. So, today, you know, I have prepared to speak something, you know, a little bit different from the episode of the Bhagavatam at the moment. You know. At the moment, we are talking about King Puranjana, which is an Nalmuni is teaching using an allegory, a very tactful way of preaching. If somebody, you know, if we are aspiring to be preachers, then this section of Bhagavatam is very useful, because it gives us the technique of how to preach to somebody by giving him an example of himself, but by using another person. So for example, if I want to say something to Yamunajivan Prabhu, then if I want to say something to him that may not be very palatable to him, and because he's my friend, then I will say, you know, there's another person whose name is Yamunajivan Prabhu, and he lives in Melbourne, and so forth. But actually I'm talking to him about him, but he's using another imaginary personality, you know. And that is King Puranjana that Narad Muni is using. So very, very powerful way of preaching. So read this section in your own time. But today, in time is rushing, is a very auspicious day, because of the Chaturmasya, the 4 months are very auspicious 4 months. Today is the beginning of the Kartik month. And Vaishnavas all over the world, you know, we really relish this month. Kartik also is synonym for the devotees all over the world for the Damodar Leela and Damodar Astakam. Now in Melbourne Temple we start offering the lamps from Tuesday, I'm not wrong. Why? No, Kartik starts today, but why do we offer lamp from Tuesday? I don't know. I tried to find out, but you know, I leave it to the experts. The Lego Government show somebody might be able to highlight it at the end. But for now, I'm going to speak, you know, for the next 40 or so minutes about Damodar Leela, because for us, Damodar Leela and Kartik are in one way synonyms. Yeah? All of us are familiar with Damodar Leela, so I will. What I was thinking of doing is taking the 8 verses, Damodar Astakam, and then just quickly going through verse by verse, the 8 stanzas, with the view that we can familiarize ourselves with the meaning of those verses. So that when we come on Tuesday to do the lamp offering, then we can offer the lamp and sing the Damodar Astakam with an in-depth understanding of what those stanzas mean. Most of us already know what those means, so for this, for the next 40 minutes, it can be a refresher for you. But for others who may not be aware, then you know, you can take this as an opportunity to heighten up your understanding, so that when we offer the level, then we can do it with more sentiment and more understanding of what is being sung. So, Damodar Astakam, you know, Astakam of course we know means eight, Asta means eight, and Damodar is made up of two words, Dam and Uddaram. So Dam means rope and Uddaram means belly. So this eight stanzas is something to do with rope, belly, and it's composed of eight verses, yeah? And before I forget, you know, I should mention that I have based my lectures based on two articles that I have read. One from His Grace Chaitanya Charitamrita and another one from His Grace Gaurangada Darshanaprabhu. Brilliant articles. So I thought I'll just put it in my own words as much as possible. So, and we also know that this is sung by or written by Satyavrata Muni, you know, and it's found in Padma Purana. So, these eight stanzas are infusion, you know, of different types of expression of emotions that we can find. So for example, you know, it is a prayer. Prayer is a means, and prayer is something that's quite universal. You know, prayer is a means of an individual expressing his or revealing his heart to the Lord, you know, with the view to ask Him for something. Even devotees ask the Lord for something. Generally, we are discouraged from asking, but that's on a material platform. You know? From a spiritual platform, we always beg Krishna, you know, to give us, you know, shelter, to give us His mercy, mercy, etc., etc. So, prayer is a way of expressing or revealing our heart to the Lord to ask Him for something. So, this Damodar Astakam is a type of prayer because the author or the poet is asking the Lord for something. What is he asking for? You know, we'll unlock as we go. It is also a poetry because it is written in a very poetic way. Eight stanzas, you know, very, very expertly arranged in a very poetic way. And a poem is something whereby, you know, the poet verbalizes his emotions, you know, puts it in writing. So it's also a poetry. It's a prayer, it's a poetry. And it's also a song. Because this poetry can be sung, you know, in an organized way. And song again is something whereby we generally bring out our emotions. A lot of us grew up with, you know, singing Bollywood and Hollywood songs. But as we come to Krishna consciousness, you know, then our taste changes. All those movies and all those, you know, starts taking second step. And this Damodar Astakam is something that we get more familiar with. So Damodar Astakam is an expertly arranged infusion of prayer, poetry, and song. And that's why it just sounds so beautiful. Now also, this particular episode of, you know, probably just give it in somebody's hand, yeah? So then it will be less destructive, yeah? And people will just pass it around with, yes. As much disturbance, as less disturbance as possible, and thank you. So, what was I saying?
But the words,
yeah. Yeah, so I was saying that this particular episode of the Lord stealing butter, for us, the devotees who are used to this, you know, and especially if you also come from the background of, you know, Indian body backgrounds, we take these things as something very normal because we are so used to it. But for a new person, you know, if you were to tell him that, you know, our God, Krishna, steals butter, it will sound very paradoxical. You know? It will be something that sounds almost like an oxymoron. Almost like, you know, think about the wealthiest person in the world, one of the wealthiest persons, for example. Let's say we take Bill Gates. No? And then one day you come to your house and you find that Bill Gates has broken into your apartment through the back door and he's stealing ice cream from the fridge. And you go and tell this to somebody. No? You know what? Bill Gates broke into my apartment and he was stealing ice cream. People will think you are nuts. No? Like Bill Gates, of all the things, he has to steal ice cream. And then he said, and you know, not only he was stealing the ice cream, that silly boy, you know what he did, or silly man, What he did, when the neighbors saw him stealing ice cream from my apartment, he called them and he said, no, you also steal some, you also take some ice cream. So when we came home, you know, there was this ice cream everywhere in the kitchen. And then, you know, there were ice cream being littered, you know, from our apartment to the other apartment. And we saw Bill Gates' full footprint on the ice cream. And that's how, you know, the police detected him and caught him, you know, red-handed, stealing. And his hands were smeared and mouths were smeared with ice cream. And who's going to believe us? So this is Lord Krishna. Bhaktanam Yagatapasam Sarva Loka Maheshwaram. He says that, I'm Sarva Loka Maheshwaram. I don't own one apartment, one building in Tamit. No, I just not own one house in Mumbai. I own both of them, plus every other apartment that you can see is owned by me, and every inch of land that you can see is owned by me. But he's stealing butter. What kind of God is he? Who steals butter? Why does Krishna steal butter? We'll unlock as we go.
And give two monkeys.
And give two monkeys. So, in that way, a lot of things in the Mother Leela, you know, is very, very paradoxical. It just does not seem right that this person cannot be God. But it's a sweet pastime, you know, and we'll see why he is still God, even though he acts like this. As a back story, very quickly, you know, we'll recap in 2 minutes what is happening so that, because in the Mother Astakam, the poet presumes that the audience is familiar with this story. Because Damodar Astakam is not so much about what the Leela is, but it is more about the expression of his own emotions and his prayer. So it just assumes the reader knows what the pastime is. So let's quickly record the pastime, and then we'll see how this, you know, his mood fits in. So Damodar Leela, as we know, starts at one point in time, but let's say, you know, for the today's purpose, you know, starts with Krishna being hungry, and he's fed, you know, and he's breastfeeding his mother, Yashoda. And it's a very sweet transcendental pastime of Krishna enacting being hungry, because how can God be hungry? So he enacts the pastime of being hungry, and Mother Yashoda enacts the pastime of, you know, flowing, you know, the transcendental ecstasy in the form of a breast milk. You know, so that competition of hunger and feeding the God, you know, with transcendental breast milk is going on. At certain point in time, as we know, you know, that Mother Yashoda notices that one of the pots is overboiling, and then the milk is flowing into the stove. So Mother Yashoda puts Krishna aside to go and attend to the milk. Now this does not go well with Krishna. Being put aside when he was enjoying his feast, you know, did not go down well with him. Now again, if we were to put ourselves in this, you know, for us, you know, let's say we are in the prasadam hall. And there is a today is Sunday, so there is a Sunday feast going on. And then, you know, you put the feast plate in front of you after Bhagavatam class, which we are all eagerly waiting for. And then all of a sudden, somebody comes and, you know, when you are about to devour, we honor the prasada. They are about to honor the prasada, and somebody just, you know, very swiftly, you know, sweeps the plate away from you. It's that's my plate. It's like, you know, we will not be very happy. No. I mean, we will not go ahead and break all the pots and the buckets in the prasada bowl. We might, I don't know. Generally, we don't do that. But Krishna started doing that, you know, breaking that, because he was super angry. You know, because he was not satisfied with Mother Yashoda's activity. And one time it actually did happen to some of us. We were sitting in the prasada bowl, and it was a special breakfast feast or something. Somebody's birthday or something. So it has been sponsored, and we were sitting, you know, in this side of the prasadam hall, this one, yeah, on deck screen, yeah. So that was the first row. Everybody was sitting, but I was sitting here, all of us. So people were, and they were in like this sweet, cute looking, small burgers. Like glossy buns, you know, with sesame seed on top and nice patty in between. And it even had the skewer in between. On top of the skewer, like, you know, a piece of pineapple or something. I mean, just very, you know, elegantly decorated and presented. So those burgers were being served to everybody, somebody's occasion or something. So because it was small, cute little burgers, so we were being given two burgers each, two burgers on the plate. So we were being told. So when they finished serving the burgers till the end, then they realized, oh my God, there's not enough burgers. So people at the end didn't give the burger, they didn't get a burger. So this Prabhu came, and he started collecting one of the burgers from our plate, in this room. But others in that row didn't get the beggar, so you only get only one. The rest of them are getting two. Yeah, but others are not getting any, so at least be happy with one. But Prabhu, like, Prasadam is Krishna. Like, don't take Krishna away. Surely those who can, like, can be happy with Khichdi. That's how we think. That's how we think, you know, because... So now we picture as Krishna's position. You know. He's having his feast, and the mother puts him away. I mean, this did not go well with our goal, yeah? So Krishna was super duper angry, you know? And in that anger, you know, he just stole some butter that was in this other storerooms, you know? And not only that, you know, when he was feeding on this butter, then the monkeys saw Krishna, and he said, hey, Krishna, remember in Treta Yuga, you know, we helped you a lot. When you were, you know, roaming from one area to the other looking for your dear wife, no, we assisted you. We assisted you to find Mother Sita. And at that point in time, because you were, you know, a nomad in the village, you know, you didn't have a, you were not the king at that point in time. You didn't have anything to give to us. But today you have put the butter. At least give that. I said, okay. In Treta Yuga, you are Lord, so in Dwapara Yuga, I'll feed you with butter. So come, you know, we also enjoy. So the Krishna and the monkeys are all enjoying the butter. And then all of a sudden, the jaws of the monkeys drop. Wide open. And then Krishna whirls around, sensing some danger. And he sees that Mother Yashoda is coming. And then the monkeys flee. And Krishna also flees, leaving all his footprints on the butter. Like how a thief generally leaves a clue. So Krishna also leaves all this clue on the butter. No? And then the Mata Yashoda runs behind him and captures him from behind. And then what happens is when Sahadeva Ratamuni is expressing his ecstasy of this pastime, coupled with his, infused with his own begging to the Lord. So, the verse starts with Namam Ishwaram Sachidananda Rupam. Sahadeva Ratamuni in the first line warns us, and makes it very explicitly clear that, by the way, this particular pastime seems very paradoxical, because how can God be a baby and how can a baby be a thief? Don't mistake this baby to be just an ordinary baby. Don't mistake this thief to be just an ordinary thief. Why? Because Namam Ishwara. Namam means obeisances. And whom am I paying obeisances to? Ishwara. He's not just a baby, he's Ishwara. He is the supreme controller. Ishwara means controller supreme controller. So Namam Ishwara. And who is this Ishwara? Is this Ishwara just a baby who will one day, you know, grow old and then die? Is he that baby? No. He's not just a baby. Who is he? Sachit Ananda Rupam. Namam Ishwara Sachit Ananda Rupam. So although he may look like a baby to us, but his actual roop, no, his actual form is what? Satchit and Ananda. He's made up of eternality, blissful and knowledge. So Namam Ishwaram Satchit Ananda Rupam. So first stanza, first verse, Satyavrata Muni explains to us about the personality. Who is the personality that I'm talking about? I'm talking about God. Notwithstanding his paradoxical behavior, I'm establishing very categorically that this personality that I am expressing my heartfelt feelings is God. Namam Ishwaram Sachidananda. And then second line explains about, let's see, Lasat Kundalam Gopule Vrajana. So Lasat Kundalam. Kundalam means earrings. You know? So Lasat means kissing, you know, or like swaying to and fro, like a pendulum. So when Krishna is running, when Mother Yashoda is chasing him, his earrings are swaying and it's kissing his cheeks. Lasat Kundalam. And where is this happening? Gokula Vrajana. So this particular episode is happening in Gokul. So first line is personality. The second line is locality. Lasat Kundalam Gokula Vrajana. So why is the earring mentioned of Krishna, not the other ornaments? Acharya has explained to us that Krishna wears ornaments not so that he can look better. Because the ornaments don't beautify Krishna. Krishna is already most beautiful. So actually when the ornaments are on Krishna, then Krishna beautifies the ornaments, that we already know. But why earrings? Because Acharyas tell us that earrings is quite very, very fortunate of most of the ornaments on Krishna's body. Of all the ornaments on his body, the earrings are most fortunate. Why? Because they get to kiss Krishna. They get to kiss Krishna. Similarly, the flute, you know? Flute gets to kiss, or Krishna gets, or flute gets to be on Krishna's lips. So, Lasat Kundalam Gokule Vrajana. So local personality, locality, and then the next line is the activity. What is the activity? Yashoda bhiyo loke nada bhavana. No, Yashoda bhiyo. Bhai means fear. So this particular goat is at the moment in the fear of mother Yashoda, his own mother. Yashoda bhiyo loke. So in the fear of his own mother, test activity or the moon, I guess. What is the activity? What is he doing? Yashoda bhiyo loke lada rana. So ukhalad. So he, this Krishna was standing on the ukhalad. Ukhal means, you know, the mortar, the grinding mortar, where Krishna had stood to break the pots in the house. So he jumps from this grinding mortar and flees. So the personality, the locality, and then the activity, that Krishna is in fear and he's running. Another paradox, yeah? Lot of paradoxes you can note. That how can goat be in fear? Rupa tells us that, you know, surrender to Krishna and become fearless. But here Krishna is in fear. So how can God give us fearlessness when he himself is in fear? Abhayacharan. Prabhupada was Abhayacharan because he was at the feet of Krishna. But here the Lord is in fear. So, Param Vistam Atyanta Todhute Gopaya. This Gopi, Who is this Gopaya? Yashoda. What is Yashoda doing? You know? So, Param Vistam Atyanta. So, Param Vistam, very, very quickly, very, very fast, this Gopi catches Krishna from behind. Now, the Isha Parishad tells us that God is the faster than the faster. He travels at the speed faster than the mind. So the fastest gets caught. How is that possible? Somebody that is super fast, no, or uncatchable gets caught. That's another paradox. So, Krishna is in fear of Mother Yashoda. He is running from the water, gets caught from behind. And this Krishna is not just an ordinary Krishna, he is Ishvara. His body is made up of Satchit and Ananda. And this is going on in Gokula. So, you know, in summary, you can say that the best stanza is the unquotable, uncatchable God caught. Now, the basic question you will of course ask, how is possible that the uncatchable God caught? Satya will come to explain this in the next stanza. Rudam tamuhur netra yukman vijantam. Rudam tamuhur netra. So his netra is the storms of rain. Krishna is, you know, crying because he's in fear. And yogma vrijanta. Vrijanta means to rub. So with his lotus-like hand, he's rubbing his eyes. Because generally when Krishna used to cry, then Mother Yashoda would rub his eyes. When kids cry, then mothers come to rub the eyes. But here, when the mother is chasing the son, then the son, there is nobody to rub. So Krishna is rubbing his own eyes when the tears are coming. Karam bhoja yukme na satanka netram. Karam bhoja. So he's with his lotus-like hands, he's doing that. Satanka netram. Satanka netram. This netram at the moment, which is flowing with tears in fear of Mother Yashoda, is also looking like satanka. No. Atank means what? Atankavadi. Terrorism. So satanka. So not just atanka, but satanka. No. Extreme terror. In his eyes, this the moment it's filled with extreme terror of Mother Yashoda with the stick in her hand. So what does he do? Muhushwasa kampa trireka katanta. Muhushwasa. So his swas, his breathing is going on and on very heavily. When we are in fear, when we are in terror, then it's natural that our breathing goes up. The blood is secreting because the body is needing more oxygen to stabilize itself. Yeah. So, the doctor is here. Doctor prepares it. So his heartbeat goes up. You know, he is breathing very heavily. So Krishna is in that situation. But then Satyavartamani tells us. Now again, in the first place, he told us, don't mistake this Krishna for an ordinary human being. Similarly, because he is in terror, because he is breathing heavily, because he is rubbing his eyes, don't mistake him for an ordinary personality. Why? Because Trirekha Kakanta. When we cry, how do we look?
Terrible.
I don't think many people want to look us up when we cry. In any case, generally that's why when we cry, we hide our face, you know, because we look pretty, let's say not ugly, but we don't look good. So, but when Krishna is crying, he is looking three rekha kakanta. There are three lines on his throat, on his neck, and in Vedic culture, when there is three lines on the neck, it is a sign of beauty. When we cry, we look ugly. But when Krishna is crying, then he is even more beautiful when he is crying. And those are the symbolic three lines, three rekha, like the three lines on the conch shell, are in his throat. So he looks very beautiful, very, very attractive when he is crying. Like in modern times, if you want to give an analogy, for men, they are sign of beauty is when they have that six-pack. It's like, especially in the Western countries. In India, generally, we look more beautiful if you've got a big pot, right? It's sign of wealth. So all the wealth is in the belly. Yeah? But in Western countries, it's like, it has to be flat. So we get some culture shock when we come here. So that's when we start dieting and all that. Yeah. So the six-pack is the sign of beauty for men. Now, of course, here, for an advanced personality, the three-rekha kakantar is a sign of what? Beauty. So Krishna is looking very beautiful. Muhushvasa kampa tri rekha kakanta stitha drivam damodaram bhakti badham. Stitha drivam damodaram. This Lord Damodar bhakti badham. So how did the uncatchable goat caught? How is the Lord who is the supreme proprietor stealing? How is the goat who has got everything is hungry? How is the goat who is peace personified, Shanti Dhut, is angry? How is the goat who is supposed to take our fear away? Is it there? No? How on earth did he get bound by Mother Yashoda? The goat who is unlimited, nothing can bind him. How did he get bound by the mother? By bhakti badham. By the love of the mother. So the Lord here gets bound by not the ropes. The goat gets bound not by the length of the rope, but by the depth of the bhakti. God gets bound not by the length of the rope, but the depth of our devotion. And that's how Mother Yashoda is able to capture Krishna. Iti drikshvalila virananda kunde. So now, after quickly explaining the gist of the pastime, then Satyavrata Muni now is doing something else. What is he talking about? Iti drikshvalila virananda. Iti drikshvalila. By seeing this lila, by seeing this pastime, Ananda Kunde, people are swimming in the lake of ecstasy. In the lake of ecstasy, Kunda. Let's just be very careful. Very, very tactfully he uses the word Kunda. Generally we will say, that Krishna is an ocean of mercy. Or there is an unlimited bliss in Krishna consciousness. But here the bliss is compared to a small Kunda. Like a bathtub. When it's scorching hot day in Melbourne, 40 degrees, it is about to come. Then we find some ecstasy in our bathtub. Because there's nobody nowhere else that side to go. So like little ecstasy. But why would we take some pleasure in the bathtub? Just go and swim in the sea. So why would we not compare with the sea but with the tub? No? That's the analogy. We'll pick that up later. Just remind me if I forget. At the end of the class. Why does he compare with the kunda? So it is rikshvalila bhirananda kunde. So somebody is relishing this lila in a lake of ecstasy. Who are they? Swaghosham. His own family members and his own friends and his own countrymen in Gokul.
Swaghosham.
Bridgevasis. Swaghosham nimajantam akhya payantam akhya eyes. So this particular sweet pastime the Lord is enacting in front of his families, friends, neighbors, villages in Gokula in front of their eyes. So what does he say? Tadiya Shitagneshur Bhaktir Jitadvam. So Tadiya Shitagneshur Bhakti. This God can be known or generally is approached by two means. Tadiya Shitagneshur Bhakti. Firstly, by those who want to approach him on a jnana platform. Tadiya Shitagneshur Bhakti. And secondly, those who want to approach him on a bhakti platform. These are two types of people that generally approach God. On a jnana platform, on a bhakti platform. Jitatva. Jitat means to jeet over, to win over, to control, not to control. But to attain God, you can approach him through jnana platform or through bhakti platform. As we know, God is great, but God is also sweet. His greatness is his Aishwarya jnana, Aishwarya mood, which is approached by the jnanis. And his sweetness is his Madhurya mood, which is approached by the bhaktas, by the devotees. So when we are cognizant of the Lord's greatness, then generally we become very submissive to Him. But when we are cognizant of the Lord's sweetness, then it generally evokes affection in us towards Him. So our mood, you know, in our sampradaya is one of affection, you know, one of loving exchange with the Lord. We don't worship the Lord in awe and reverence. We worship Him in the mood of sweetness. You know? That's why we dance in Dilta. You know? That's why we sing in Dilta. You know? We relish prasadam. Every step is joyful. Prabhupada said that every step in the spiritual mode is a dance. You know? Every day is a feast. And every day is a festival. Something like that. So it's always very, very sweet. Taniya shitarneshu bhaktir jitatvam puna prematastam satavriti vante. So knowing this personality, knowing this sweet pastime, Satyavrata Muni is again and again and again offering his obeisances. Satavriti vante. Sata means hundreds and thousands of times. Vande means obeisances. I'm paying my obeisances to this personality again and again and again and again. Yeah? That's number five. So in summary, you can say, when love or when sweetness supersedes greatness, love conquers the beloved. When we know the sweetness of a person, then he becomes more lovable. Four. Varam deva moksham na moksha vadim va. Now his prayer moves into asking for something. After describing and after praising him, he is now asking for something. What is he asking? Varam deva moksha na moksha vadim va. You are varam deva. Var means boon. If you are the giver of the boon, a boon to everybody. You give people var. Varam deva moksham. And what can you give? Above everything else, you can also give moksha to people. You can give them liberation. Varam deva moksha. Na moksha vadimba. And not only you can give people everything, not only you can give them liberation, but you can actually also give them that is something higher than liberation. And what is that? Acharyas tell us that is Vaikuntha parents. You are capable and eligible of giving people everything, including liberation, and much more than that, which is also giving them Vaikuntha balance. Varam deva moksha na moksha vadim va. But na chanyam vreneham vare sadapiya na chanyam vareham. I don't want that boon. I don't want that the boon of being liberated. I don't want that liberation. So what does he want? Nachanyam vreneham vare sadapiha. So, vare sadapiha. And then again very important. So, he is saying that you are the giver of the boon as well as you are capable of giving the boon. There's two different things here. That's why that word appear is used. In, as an example, let's say, if somebody comes to ask us something, if a beggar comes on the street, and he asks them, like, give me something. And then, out of your causeless mercy, you ask him, you feel compassionate for him. And then he said, yeah, what do you want? And he says, you got this such nice car, it's so big, it's a modern, it's a nice car. Give me this car. You were I was thinking he might ask 5 rupees or something. He's asking for my car. That's probably getting a bit too much. Because out of our compassion, we may have given one meal or something, But for somebody to ask for our car, or to ask for our house, it will be see you later, mate. we move on. So it's not within our bandwidth now to give something so magnanimous like that. But here, Satyavrata Muni is saying, you are capable and you are eligible, you are qualified, and you are also capable of giving everything. So you should give me something. You are vare sadapiya. But na chanyam varaniham vare sadapiya. Idamte, so what does he want? He doesn't want liberation. He doesn't want anything more than liberation. So what does he want? Idamte vapurnatha gopala balam. Idamte vapurnatha. Oh my Lord, oh my Nath, I just want this Gopal form. Idam deva purnata gopala balam. Not any gopala form, but this particular gopala balam form. The form of what? Krishna is stealing the butter. No, another paradox. No? We think Lord is somebody generally who sits on a throne in a very majestical way. No? That's what we picturize as God is, not us, as in generally, yeah? Devotees know that Krishna is Krishna, you know, in his various forms. But for non-devotees, generally God is somebody, you know, like a king, sitting on a throne, you know, and giving judgments and all that, very fearful personality. But here, Satyavrata Muni just wants this particular form of Krishna stealing butter. Idam deva purnata gopala bala. And what about that form? What do I want about that form? Sada me manasya virastam kim anne. Sada me manasya. I want this particular form to be eternally sada, manasya, in my heart, in my mind. I just want this particular movie that's playing on in Gokula to be repeating in my heart forever and ever and ever. Of Krishna stealing my life. Kim anne, what else will I want? What else is of any use? So, the mood of this stanza is that Krishna is, Satyavrata Muni is putting in his request. When love, desire, no, not when, no, when there is a true love, genuine love, then love desires nothing but only the beloved. When there is a true love, you know, the two lovers will want nothing but just only the lovers. And anything that may come in between the two lovers, they will reject it. So for example, you know, you'll see this frequently in Bollywood movies. Not now, but you know, when I used to watch it 15 years ago. You will see, you know, that by some coincidence, you know, the hero falls in love with the villain's daughter. Most of you are smiling. You know. The hero falls in love with the villain's daughter. Which is again, it will be too dangerous territory because you know, the villain will always try to kill the hero. But somehow or the other, because they have fallen in love, you know, whatever, so the girl will say, no, Devi, I'll leave you if you don't get me married to this boy. Shadi hogi to isi se hogi. You know, like if I have to get married, it has to be this man only. Otherwise, I'm not getting married. Zindagi bhar, you know, I'll stay a brahmacharini, forced brahmacharini like that. No? And the, so there's this competition. We want nothing else but just each other's association.
Like
so,
Rukmini.
So here similarly, you know, Krishna is, Satyavrata Muni is saying that I want nothing else but just Krishna's this beautiful Bhaga form, you know, Gopal form in my heart. Nothing else. Kim manne? What else is of any use? You okay? You with me so far?
Yes.
Yeah?
Please.
Fine. Halfway there. Idam te mukham bhojam atyanta neela. So after putting in his request, then he's describing that request of this particular form that I want. Just so that, no, Krishna, you be very clear. I want this Gopal form, the movie of this Gopal form to be playing in my heart forever. But just so that you don't trick me, let me describe this form to you, you know? So that you don't need any other form. I want this particular form. So how does this particular form look? It's like sometimes when we, you know, when we pray, or when we used to pray maybe before Krishna consciousness day. It's like when we want something from, you know, oh my Lord, you know, oh please make me pass this exam. And also make sure we confess, you know. So it's like, you know, explicitly clear, we want to pass, but we also want to confess, you know. So like this, I want this Gopal form, but I also want this particular Gopal form. What is that particular Gopal form? Idam te mukham bhojam atyanta neela. This particular form is atyanta neela. It's heavily blue in color. Neela means blue, yeah. And mukham bhojam, you know, this face is like lotus. This lotus-like face and blue in color. That's the form I want. Vittam kundhale snigdha. And his hair, this particular form, the hair must be curly. Vittam kundhale, like a kundha, like curly hair. And snigdha, it must be, you know, glossy, must be shiny hair. That's the form. Vittam kundhale. Excuse me. Snigdha raktascha gopa. Rakta means red. So by this particular form, which is bluish face, curled hair, glossy hair, lotus looking, little tinged with red because it has been kissed by Mother Yashoda. So there's tinges of red everywhere. This particular Gopal form. Muhus chumbitam bimba. And his lips, muhus, not chumbitam bimba. After being kissed, chumma means kiss. Being kissed by Mother Yashoda is looking. Muhus chumbitam bimba rakta dharami. Bimba. Bimba fruit is red. So rakta. Rakta is red. So red bimba fruits, you know. So his face is again reddened because of the kissing of Mother Yashoda. Manasya virastam alam laksha labhai. Manasya virastam. So he repeats the same thing in the previous verse, remember? That was also Manasya. This is also Manasya. In there he wanted the Gopala form of Krishna to be playing in his heart. Here he wants this particular Gopala form of Krishna to be playing in his heart. No? That particular Krishna, which is bluish in color, lotus looking, red lips, reddened with, you know, redness over his like bimba tree, bimba fruit, because he has been dished by Mother Yashoda, to be playing in my heart again and again. Six. Namo Devata Modar Ananta Vishnu. So remember, what has he done so far? He has put in his request. So now he intensifies his request. After putting in his request, he is now intensifying it. How does he intensify it? Namo Devata Modar Ananta Vishnu. No. So when we want something from somebody, generally what do? If you know, if your child comes to you all of a sudden, out of nowhere, and then says, Papa, you are so nice. Now, what does the lady say?
What do you want?
So when we want something from somebody, generally the strategy that is employed is, you know, we try to glorify the person. Prabhu, you look so good today. What do you want? Just say, when we say to our friends, you are so cute today. What do you want? Tell me now. Just be open. Why do you have to be done on the road? So he has, Satyavrata Muni is now, you know, glorifying Krishna. Because he already asked something, no? So the best strategy is to glorify somebody when you want something from them. But it should be genuine glorification, no? not flattering and artificial, yeah? Namo Deva Damodar Ananta Vishnu. What are we told when we have to glorify Krishna? What is the best way to glorify him? What is our process of glorifying Krishna? Come on. What kind of service? Devotional service. What particular kind of devotional service? Chanting. We chant the names of Krishna. Glorify his holy names. That is our person. We chant. So what does Satyavrata Muni do? He also chants. What does he chant? Rather than chanting Hare Krishna at that time, what does he chant? Namo Deva Damodara. O Damodara. First name. Ananta. Second name. Vishnu. Three names he has already taken. Yeah? Chanting the holy names of the Lord to glorify him. Namo Deva Namo Deva. The Giva, Damodara, Ananta, Vishnu, Prasida, Prabhu. Prabhu is also Namasta. So five holy names he has taken of Krishna in one go. Namo Deva, Damodara, Ananta, Vishnu, Prasida, Prabhu, Dukha, Jalabdhi, Bhagna. Oh my Lord, just see my situation. I mean Dukha. What kind of Dukha? Jalabdhi, this jal of network of ignorance and, you know, trapped in. At the moment I'm suffering in a network of illusion, of ignorance. Although he is not, but that's what his humility is, yeah? No, I'm suffering at the moment in the network of illusion. Now this is the same prayer that we sing when we sing the Mahaprasadam prayer. What do we say? Sharira avidya jal. What does that mean? Sharira, this body, you know, is avidya. No, is ignorant. Jal is net. Sharira, vidya, jal. So this body at the moment is being trapped in the network of ignorance. Jyotendriya, dahekal, no, of all these indriyas are very, very powerful. Dahekal. Jive, phale, visaya, sagre. So jive. So this jiva, this soul, you know, is visaya, sagre. In this big ocean, is trapped while being trapped in the network of illusion. So same similarity, yeah? So, Prasida Prabhu Dukha Jalabdhi Magnam. I'm suffering in this ocean of misery. Now let's quickly recap before I forget, yeah? There he had said something about Ananda Kundya, remember? No? That you are showing this, enacting this pastime in Gokula, which is giving them, you know, lakes of ecstasy. And what kind of god are you? Can't you see that I am suffering in an ocean of misery? So at least give me the lake of happiness. If you can't give me the ocean of happiness, I am suffering in the ocean of misery. If you can't give me ocean of happiness, then Baba, at least give me lake of happiness. Now have that kind of mercy on me. So I get some relief from my suffering of separation. Now, you see the connection? Beautiful poet, yeah? Kripa drishti drishya ke dinam batanu. So after glorifying Krishna, so again, when we want something from somebody, what did we say? We glorify the person, we praise him. And then we put in our request. But before putting in our request, no, if a beggar comes to you again and is begging for something, he will say, oh, no, you come from a rich country, no, looks like your handbag, you know, and your plastic bags and all those things are, you know, it says downtown, so you must have come from Melbourne, no, duty free shop, so you must be rich people, you know, and give me something. But before that, they will say, but look at, you know, I haven't eaten since yesterday, you know, my family hasn't eaten since yesterday. No, we don't have a place to live. No, please give me something. Yeah? So you glorify the person, first strategy. Second strategy is you show your own destitute position. No, that we are suffering. Glorify and show your own position of suffering to invoke compassion in the giver. So Satyavrata Muni employs both strategies here. Firstly, he glorifies Krishna and then he shows his own destitute position. What does he say? Tripadrishti Vishnya ki dhinam batano. I am dhinam. No, I am foreign. Graha nesha maam agna. I am also ignorant. My Lord, I am foreign and I am ignorant and I am suffering. Kripa drishti, please show me the glance of your mercy. Kripa drishti drishya ke dinam batanu. Graha nesha maam agna. So, I am suffering, I am fallen, I am ignorant, I am suffering. You are magnanimous. Please give me kripa drishti. Please, no, show me a glance of your mercy. And now he elevates his request. What was his request in the last two stanzas? Yeah, but what was his request that he had put in? Yes, Mataji? Darshan Mataji?
Wanted to have the
form he wants. He wanted the form and he described the form he wants. And how? What about that form? What did he want actually to do with that form? He wants to remember the form. In his heart forever, sadame manasya. He wanted the form to be repeating in his heart ever and ever. But now he escalates it. He doesn't want only repetition in his heart, he wants something else. What does he want? Graha nesha mam. Agna e dakshya drishya. Aksha. I want that form to be in front of my eyes. So from an internal darshan of the Lord, he now requests for an external darshan of the Lord. Not just a meditation, but more of an external visual appearance. So in other words, he wants the Lord to appear, you know, for him. Not that the Lord has to come to him, but arrange in a way that he can be with the Lord, partaking in that pastime. So elevates his request. Two more. Kuve ragmajau bhakta murte vayadva. So now another tactic he uses. After glorifying the Lord, after putting in his request, and then showing his destitute position, he now gives evidence. It's always again the bhikari, the beggar. He comes to us, tells us that he is suffering, he has not eaten, tells us that we are rich, and therefore we should give. And then if he said, but I can't give you anymore because I don't have any money left, then what will he say? But just now you gave it to them. I saw you giving it to them. So if you gave it to them, then why won't you give it to us? Especially in India, when you line up to the tirthas, you know, then you'll see many people lined up, you know, to collect the donations of assistance. So there will be many lined up. So you need to carry coins because otherwise we might be sitting at the end of the queue one day, you know, if we finish up our own mother. So we give them little coins. But then you cannot miss the next person because you've already given to one, yeah? So by precedence, you are now obliged to give it to the next one. And if you stop in the queue, then that person will say, but now you have just given it to everybody else. So why are you excluding us? No, give me two as well. So Satyavrata Muni employs the same strategy. Kuber atma jau bhakti, kuber atma jau bhakta, bhunte vayatva. You have given this kripa drishti. No? You have given this bhakti already to somebody. Whom have you just given this bhakti to? Kuber atma jau. You have just given this to the two sons of Kubera. Who are they?
Manideva
and Nalgubada. You have just now given that merciful glance and that act of bhakti to Manideva and Nalgubada. Kubera atma jau, bhakta murte vayatva. And not only you gave them bhakti when they were bound in those Arjuna trees, just pick this up, yeah? Beautifully, Satyavrata Muni. Not only you gave them bhakti when they were bound in the trees, but you also gave them bhakti when you yourself were bound. You were bound by the ropes of Mother Yashoda to the grinding mold. Huh? When you were bound, you unbound them. Now you are unbound, so at least unbind me. Generally, when we are bound, you'll see again this in Bollywood movies. When the hero is bound in the chains by the villains, then another hero has to come. Not two. Right? Then Rajnikant will shoot from the mountain, and chop off the chains and all that. And then the hero gets freed up. And then there will be, Dishum coming on. So like that. So here, when somebody is bound, he is helpless. But Krishna, you were bound and you still held Manigriva and Nalgubera. So now please, give me that mercy when you are unbound.
तुर्कुवे राजमाजा उभद्रा मुर्दे भयात बा तोया मोचिता उभक्ति भजो कितव चा
तोया यू मोचिता यू गेट देम लिबरेशन मोक्षा यू गेट नॉट इवन ए बट यू आर मोक्षा एंड नॉट ओनली मोक्षा यू आल्सो गेट देम भक्ति
तोया मोचिता उभक्ति भजो कितव चा
देन दिस प्रेयर तथा प्रेमा भक्तिं स्वखां मे प्रयच्छा नाउ ही एलिवेट्स इट टू येट अनदर लेवल. Initially it was, pastime should connect in my heart, that pastime should be in front of my eyes. Now he wants tatha prema bhakti. I want the highest. Of everything, I want the highest. I want prema bhakti. Forget everything else now. Tatha prema bhakti. Swakhamme prayaccha. This is my ichcha. My prema. My ichcha is what? Tatha prema bhakti. I just want prema bhakti, nothing else.
Tatha prema bhakti. Swakhamme prayaccha.
Na moksha graho. Sthiti Damodaya. I don't want moksha. And forget those two pastimes of you playing in my heart and coming in front of my eyes. Just give me prema bhakti because you have given it to Nalanduveda. So you can't say no. Yeah. So the bound is still the liberator. No? That's the theme of that stanza. That when it's bound, you can still liberate us. Now, when we come in Krishna consciousness, and last one, when we come in Krishna consciousness, when we are taught that our proper mentality of the prayer is to ask Krishna for bhakti. Nothing coheres, because everything else is temporary. Bhakti will be eternally, and it is the source of our problem. Comparing it to the waste of the dead, and Prabhupada wrote, that we left shelter of Krishna, we travel all over the world to find happiness, and we are morose. The solution is reverse engineering, go back to Krishna, take shelter, he will give you everything, and you will be happy. Yes, we understand all that. Prabhupada also teaches us, that when we have to approach Krishna, how do we approach Krishna? Directly. Or by other means. How do we do that? Kids, adults? How do we approach Krishna? Yes. By worshipping Tulsi, one way, another way? Yes. Through Guru Parampara? Nice. So, did anybody else say that?
Yeah.
Chanting. And when we chant, what do we chant? Hare Krishna. Who is Hare?
Radharani.
So in Tulsi Prayer, in the Guru Parampara, we are spiritual master. In the chanting, there is always a devotee before Krishna. This is the Tulsi Maharani, the spiritual master, the devotees, the acharyas, Radharani, before we approach Krishna. So Krishna is always approached by the medium of his devotees. Srila Prabhupada, of course. Like that. So what do you think Satya Vartamani will do? Go directly to Krishna? Because he's put in the request now. Now, and he's climaxed it. So he wants to conclude it. So who do you think he will recall? Let's see. Namaste stu damne spura ditti damne. So namaste. I'm paying obeisances to whom? Namaste stu damne. And what's dam? Explain in the beginning, huh? Row. So he's paying obeisances to the row. Again another paradox. You pay obeisances to Krishna, fair enough. But why would somebody pay obeisances to the row? Namaste stu damne. Yeah? An analogy that I can give, which will click with you is, for example, when Dhoni hits the six to win the World Cup, the last ball of the game against Sri Lanka, so that cricket bat gets glorified. People will pay millions of dollars to put that cricket bat in their house on a nice altar where they'll every morning pay obeisances to. This is Dhoni's cricket bat. For football lovers, David Beckham has scored those goals, then his boot becomes very cherishable to the carnies. They'll pay millions of dollars just to buy that soccer boot so that they can put in the altar of their house, and then wash it and then do arti every morning. Literally they'll do arti, like that. I mean not with candle, but you know what I mean, mental arti. So like that. So a peripheralia that is connected with the person also gets glorified because of the not the strength, but because of the glory of the peripheralia. So similarly here, this rope, no, which has bound the unbound or which has bound the unlimited, is also glorified. No? So in that pose, Satya Vrata Muni is saying, Namaste Stu Dhamne, Stu Raditi Dhamne. And this robe is not just an ordinary robe, but it is also a very splendorous robe. No, it's very, very brilliant robe. No, it's sparkling robe. So Namaste Stu Dhamne, Stu Raditi Dhamne. Todi, and then this is the line. Yeah? Todi Yodaraya Atta Vishwase Dhamne. I mean, this robe, Satya Vrata Muni is saying, I mean, you know what you have done today? No, I'm paying obeisances to you, my dear robe, because this robe, you have today bound something where the entire universe emerges from. How does the universe get created? Who is the secondary creator? Lord Brahma. Where does Lord Brahma come from? Navel of from the lotus, which comes from
the
navel. That navel, that belly, which is the source of the entire creation, today has been bound by the robe. So you are that glorious. You have bound that belly, which is the source of the entire creation. Namaste Stu Dhamne, Stu Raditi Dhamne, Todiyo Dharayata, your belly. No, you have bound that belly, which is the source of the entire creation. Vishwa. No, Vishwa Se Dhamne. You have bound everything that is the source of the creation. And then, the first thing that we discuss, we approach Krishna through a devotee. Namo Radhikayai Twadiyai Priyayai. Who is Radhika? Radharani. Namo Radhikayai Twadiyai Priyayai. Oh Radharani. No? You are also very dear to Krishna, and Krishna is also very dear to you. So please, if my WhatsApp message doesn't reach Krishna, because maybe he has blocked me, so make sure you see that I am typing this message, and somehow or the other you do mention to Krishna that Satya Vrata Muni is suffering in the ocean of mercy, and Krishna is the bestower of the of all mercy. So please make sure you request him on my behalf to give me his special glance, because I am suffering. Namo Radhikayai Pratiyai Priyayai Namo Ananta Leelaya Devaya Tuhyam. Then he concludes by Namo Ananta Leelaya. His conclusion is what? Mahaprasadhe Govinde. So his conclusion is what? That if this one particular small pastime is so ecstatic, is so relishful, then what about Namo Ananta Leelaya? You have got unlimited pastimes, and therefore if one particular pastime can give me lake of ecstasy, remember? If one particular pastime can give me lake of ecstasy, then Namo Ananta Leelaya, then unlimited pastime should be able to give me unlimited lakes of ecstasy, which becomes an ocean. And how will I get it? Through Prema Bhakti. Namo Ananta Leelaya Devaya Tubhyam. I am paying obeisances to this particular Damodar, who is the source of unlimited happiness. The unlimited Lord offers unlimited bliss. That's the conclusion of that Damodar Astaka. I'm sorry, I had to finish it. I couldn't leave it at number 6. I had something else to say to conclude it, but I won't go there today. It was more just to inspire us to get into the Damodar Astaka, Damodar Leela mood, from now onwards. Many more so from which is there, but I will leave all those words for another time. Any questions or comments?
You want to tell us something about Munipal Swami?
I literally don't have time. Nice question, but anything that pertains to today's pastime of Damodar Leela, I need to take that question. Any clarity or comments? But that point we can discuss after that. Sorry, go. No? Should we know? Really? Or one is? Or Shagopati?
Jai!